morning, church, for the second time. I saw you in the baptismal, so if you see that one arm looks different than the other, I tried to hike it up, but she went a little under. I think I hugged her and got a little on my shirt, too. Anyways, I'm excited to say, I know you've heard this, but we are not a church with small groups, but we are a church of small groups. This is where we find freedom. I can't tell you how many people we have that have went through a small group that have said, this is how I thought, but once I went through a small group, I have been free from what bound me before in my past. Sometimes you just join a small group because you want fellowship. It's other people that think like you or maybe have gone through the same thing that you've gone through. It's a place where we as a church find freedom. The Bible says that if we confess our faults one to another, there's healing in that. You ever heard the woman that says that, I just need to talk about it. It helps. Yeah, it brings healing to you because you're talking about what you didn't do right in the situation and how God has helped you through and over what you are. So it's a good thing. So I encourage you today that if you'll look up here, there's a little QR code. And if you have not signed up for a small group in the past, a new summer session that's only 7 weeks long starts signups today. If you click on that, that'll take you right there. Small groups happen, most of them on Wednesday nights. We do have some off-site small groups, but not as many yet. We're looking to grow those in the near future, though. So, without anything else, let's pray and get into the Word. Amen? I'm ready. Father, we just come before you today. And Lord, I just thank you that you have anointed me, Father, for such a time as this. Father, that the anointing would push through. Father, break through into the hearts of the people listening. Father, whether it be live stream or in the seats, Father, or even in an archive a week later, a month later, years later, Father, that the word that would go forth today would break forth into their hearts and begin to grow. Father, I thank you, Lord, that if there be any of me, Father, you remove it so that people could clearly see the written word of God today and the spirit that's infused within it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Only believe you are a church that believes in the impossible. You believe things that are impossible with God can become possible. But in saying that, it means that you must believe all of the scripture, not just a part, not just the ones you like and throw out the ones you don't like. You have to hear them all. I'm prefacing that because today, with the week of Pentecost just around the corner, we're going to begin to speak about the Holy Spirit. We're going to begin to teach you the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to got Mother's Day in the middle. We got to talk to the mothers, and then we're coming back to Pentecost, and then we're going to go into the book of Acts. And in case you don't know, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit in regular people's lives like you and me. Just regular people. So we're going to do that. So the Holy Spirit has a lot of AKAs, or to the older generation, also known as. I know, I threw that in there, Mom, for you, because you're going to be going, what? I know, it's okay. He's known as the Holy Ghost in one of our denominational books. In the KJV, it's the Holy Ghost. He's known as the breath of God, the advocate, the helper, the comforter. He's even noted as a counselor or the intercessor for you and I. The Bible also uses words that says he is like a fire. He is like a wind. Oil. He's like oil. What? Yeah, it's in there. He's like a dove, representing that of purity and peace. Just some names that you thought you might want to know. I remind you today that no matter what the Holy Spirit's role is in your life today, maybe you only know him as counselor. Maybe you know him as the one that's the putter on of the brakes and says, don't go there. Maybe that's the way you know him. You only know him as the convictor of sin. Wherever he is in your life today, I promise you, or whatever he becomes tomorrow, that you and I today need the Holy Ghost more than we've ever needed him before. That he was not a thing of the past for the early church. And then at the early church, with all of his display and all of his action, we just get to go, well, that was for then. Now's a different time and age. No. No, the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, the three in one. For all of you new believers out there, the best way I would bring this to your attention is picture an egg. An egg is an egg. Who we serve is God. But there's a yolk, there's a white part, and there's a shell. There are three in one that makes up an egg. It has multiple purposes. I can take the whites of the egg and make meringue and make those really soft peaks and then take some little heat and fry them all up on top and they look brown and golden and you think we spent all this time on this pie. You can use the yolks and increase your cholesterol level. You can use the shells to sharpen your garbage disposal or to become perlite in your garden or something like that in your compost pile. I don't know. There's works for everything. What I know is we serve a God that is three persons. The Holy Spirit's not a thing, and he's not a ghost. He's not an it. It's not a has-been. He's a person, and he is alive. He was with Jesus, and he is now with you and I. And his work did not stop. His miracles are for today. Tongues are for today. And his healing is for today. And let me say this. Some of you might believe he's here for healing, but that tongues is done away with. Well, I'll tell you this. If he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he must not be healing no more if there is no tongues. If he's not doing the miraculous and creating or working of miracles, then he's not doing tongues. You don't get to take what you want and leave out the rest. I understand that it gets a really bad name, but here's what I'll remind you. It's called the Holy Spirit. Not the fearful spirit. Not the spirit that puts himself on you whether you want him or not. The Holy Spirit that I serve is a gentleman. He's kind. He's gentle. He's not full of fear. He don't bring fear. The only thing you should be fearful of is if you aren't saying yes to God. That's a reason to be afraid. Amen? Amen. All right, let's turn to the Word because I want to start laying some scripture. John 16, we're going to start there today. In the fifth verse of the 16th chapter, it says, now this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. It says, but now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. If you want to know what he told you, you got to go read the verses before because I don't have time today. That's why they're grieving. But what I want to bring to you, first of all, is to know that Jesus is saying this. And he said, I am going away to the one who sent me. Did Jesus send himself? Someone sent him. We know that it's the Father. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Jesus is the one who came, so he must have a Father. I am, oh wait, may the fourth be with you. I heard, right? I am your Father. I forgot about that. That was beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wait, that would be the part of me that I prayed for him not to put in the service. You get what you get, people. It's the best I got. So there must be a Father that's sending Jesus. And none of you are asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you. It is to your advantage that I go out of here, that I go away, that I, being Jesus, these are red letters, and those of you that have a red Bible, that means Jesus' words. That proves we've got a Father, we've got a Son named Jesus. Because if I don't, the advocate. So there's somebody else in this scripture. That makes three people in one verse. I just want you to know that anyone who says I don't believe in the Trinity, for you new believers, there's proof right there. You can go in Luke's gospel and find almost the exact same thing where all three are mentioned in the same verse. Why? Because we serve a Godhead, three in one, three persons in one being that serve three different purposes in our life. If I don't, the advocate won't come. Now skip on down, scurry down to the 12th verse. Karen, hang with me. I didn't write this on your list this morning. Someone give thanks for Karen. She's working our media screen. Thank you, Miss Karen. There is so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. Their heart's grieving because the man they love is leaving. He's telling them, I'm going to get out of here, but I'm going to send somebody who's going to be your advocate. He's going to be your helper. He's going to be your aid. He's going to be your support. Though I've walked with you, you're going to find in a later scripture, the Holy Spirit's going to be in you. How many of you have lost something in your life that you've kept? Your keys, your phone? That's with you. Your keys are with you. You can lose them. You can leave them on the counter and forget where you put them. But when the Holy Spirit, the advocate, lives inside of you, it don't matter if you forgot to take him with you. When you get in trouble and when you need what you need, when you didn't know you needed it, here he is going, knock, 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 I'm here. Don't forget that I'm living in you. And if I'm in you, the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of the devil, the Holy One, the one who's without blame, the one who does not sin, then when you go to sin, he's knocking on your door. Stop! Don't do that! Stop! Arrest yourself! Because if you don't, I'm going to have to at a later date. And let me tell you, it's easier if you just arrest yourself than I do. How many of you have been, I was talking to a lady this weekend, how many of you have been laid yourself on the rock for God to do a beautiful display? It's easier to lay yourself on the rock than it is for the rock to fall on you, right? I'll lay down and let the great and mighty surgeon take care of me. That's full surrender. That's the beauty of the word. So the advocate comes, he says, this is what he says, but you can't bear it now when the spirit of truth comes. Truth. Truth. The spirit of truth. Ashley was singing, Spirit, break out and break our walls down. And she began intermittently saying, break the lies of the enemy down. Do you understand that the devil's lying to you? He's lying to each and every one of us, telling us what the spirit is not in our life. When the spirit of truth comes to reveal all things. What? To reveal that you're no longer who you were. To reveal that your past is not truth. That God says you have victory over what the enemy says you fell accustomed to. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Huh. If in John 1:1, the word was with God, and God was the word, then Jesus is the Word. The Son of God is the living Word alive in our life. God was with the Word in the beginning of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. Three in one, yet again, I prove to you that the Trinity is real and that you serve three in one. He doesn't speak of his own accord. He speaks of what the Word, Jesus, said. Whatever Jesus said in the red letters is what the Holy Spirit believes. And that's what he works in your life. Watch this. I'm going to prove this to you later. It's so good. I love the word. You should love the word. Fall in love with the word, which is Jesus. It's so amazing. He will not speak on his own, but I will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Do you know that the Holy Spirit's prophetic? He's not going to tell you what a college professor tells you. He's not going to tell you what your boss tells you. He's not going to tell you anything that you can learn in a book other than the book. He's going to tell you the truth of God. The truth. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the light. No one gets to the Father, my dad, but through me. When you get saved, you go through the blood of Jesus. Oh my gosh, it makes me so excited. I lost my train of thought. And everything Jesus said in his word becomes truth in your life. Jesus said you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Jesus says you don't have to live in shame and condemnation, you don't have to live in shame and condemnation. That is the truth of the written living word. And that is alive today, yesterday, and for tomorrow. That's who he is. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in what is right. He's never going to lead you to right. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I didn't know that was wrong? Not true. Not true. You knew that was wrong. You knew that was wrong. And if not, you had a hesitation in your heart that went, And then you stepped over what was right and wrong, and you decided that you were going to do it anyways because it felt good. Yet again, the song we sang this morning. If you say wait, I'll wait. If you say no, I'll say no. I will obey every word you say. And the Holy Spirit's going to help me live that out. Right? I'm just going to throw this in. This is free. Some of us are listening to so many other voices in our life that are prophetic about the future, when all we really need to do is just sit with the Holy Spirit and let Him teach us all truth. Why do you need to know about what you didn't know? That's not even in the Bible that they're proclaiming, but it's supposedly the beginning of our future as the United States of America. Let me tell you something. There is nothing new known to God. Everything that you need for every bit of your future is in this Bible. It was good 2,000 years or one day after Jesus died. It's good right now. In fact, Jesus stood up and read from the scrolls of Isaiah. If it's good enough for Jesus to get through his life, then it's good enough for you and I to get through our life. And we don't need to be dosing on someone else's poison trying to show you why America's in the Bible. Let me tell you something. You want to know why America's not in this Bible? Because America wasn't founded when this Bible was written. That's why. Let me tell you, Jerusalem is the heart of the Bible. It is really about God's people, and He is the center, Jerusalem, the center of all prophecy. So the second you begin to put America in the center of where Jerusalem begins, you begin to not rightfully divide the word. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of help here. Be careful who you listen to, who's telling you where America is in the last day. Here's what I'll tell you. We don't know. What we know is that Jesus is coming for a spotless bride. That's what I know. And I'm going to be a part of that bride. And I'm going to get picked up by my groom. He's coming to get His spotless and blemishless church. And that's who we're going to be. And God willing, we don't have to know about the end. But if God should tarry while we are here, then He will give us the strength. And the Holy Spirit will lead us in the truth of all things. And we will know what the future brings, because He will reveal it to us. But it's not going to be some flaky prophetic gospel talking about how America is this and America's that. Sorry, that was free. I think my dad used to say that. Man, he's in me too. Hallelujah. Now we're going to introduce John the Baptist into our sermon. Now, let's just state some things. It's not John Baptist, like Nicole Waters. That's not his last name. It's not even the denomination that he was a part of. He was not a Baptist. He was a Jesus follower. This was before denominations came and split down the middle and a whole bunch of disunity came. Just might want to mention that. It was his name because he was the forerunner, the one who came before Jesus, who baptized with water. So he was John the Baptist. Today, if I had been born back then, you could have called me Nicole the Baptist. Thought I'd say that. Ah, that's funny. Okay, John 1. Randy would not think that's funny. He said, that's stupid. John 1, 29, 34. Let's all turn there. I make myself laugh. Okay, John 29. It says, the next day. Now, John is talking to the people. It said, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I've been talking about. When I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Did anybody get that? He existed, not he was born long before me. He existed. God always was, He always will be, and He always has. Woo! Someone can say you serve a God that is powerful. He existed. He always was. I'm just dancing my microphone right off. Okay, so long as it isn't my clothes. I heard that, Mom. David danced till his clothes fell off. I did not recognize him as the Messiah. Do you know it's possible to know about the Messiah but not know him? Do you realize that Paul walked with Jesus literally, but then could not recognize who he was when he was right next to him? Could you and I know him so well that if he didn't look like every portrait we thought, if he didn't respond the way we thought he should with a gentle nudge or the way he had in the past, would we know it was Jesus? Okay. Takes time. Takes time. Have you ever looked at somebody that come up to your door and they rang your doorbell and you look at them through the glass and you know they have that privacy glass, they call it. But depending on the grade of privacy you get, sometimes you can see by their shape who they are. You and I should be able to recognize and know the shape, the tone, the look, the feel of Jesus, our Savior. And if we don't, then we have to ask ourselves, then why don't I know him? Because you know of a Savior, but you don't know him. Because you're not spending time with him. See, knowing our Savior takes relationship. If my mother came to my door, even with that privacy glass and rang my doorbell, I would either smell her through the crack of my door. She baptizes herself in that cologne. That perfume. Her and Eric Smith. I can tell if Eric's in the office before I get here. But I'll say this, he does smell good. They both smell good. You're not going to smell sweat, that's for sure. Would we know him? But he couldn't recognize him as the Messiah, but he had been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testifies. Now, look at the difference. First, John sees Jesus coming and he says it out loud. This one is him testifying of how he knew that it was the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. Then John testified, I saw, let me tell you something. He saw because the Spirit saw. I don't have time to get into it. John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb and he was filled with the Spirit in her womb. He didn't go through the process of all the other things that we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. It was sovereignly done for John the Baptist because he was a forerunner to the Messiah. John already had the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It was living inside of him. In fact, pregnant lady to pregnant lady, Elizabeth has John the Baptist in her belly. Stand up here, sir. Come here. I'm going to use you as my example. Maybe some of you don't understand what pregnant looks like. Sayla, are you here today? Nope, Sayla's not here today, or I'd bring her. So we're just going to act like I'm pregnant. I'm early, she's late in her pregnancy. Baby to baby, this is Mary who's carrying the Son of Jesus. And Elizabeth, who's got John the Baptist. She's already 6 months with baby. How many months are you?
6 months.
Maybe you should be 6 months. You're Elizabeth. I'm Mary. She's Elizabeth. Mary had just found out that she's pregnant. The angel tells her, go and see your cousin Elizabeth, for she is 6 months with child. She does, and all of a sudden, can I touch your belly? I hated that when I was pregnant. People were like, what makes you think you could touch my belly because I'm pregnant? Keep your hands off me. Just saying. No one ever tries to, hey, Sharon, can I touch your belly? No, not until you're pregnant. And everybody's like, can I touch your belly? So weirdos. Just saying. Leave my space. Don't touch my belly. All of a sudden, Elizabeth's baby, as soon as Mary walks in the door, knocks on, Elizabeth, you wouldn't believe, the baby leaps within Elizabeth's belly because it bears witness with the Son of God that's in Mary's belly, though you can't see it. Let me tell you why, because the Holy Spirit wasn't surprised. The Holy Spirit was already within John. And John begins to understand through the discerning of spirits, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the nine, says, I'm discerning that that's not a spirit of evil. That's the spirit of the living Son of God that just walked in the room. And I take honor. I bow to his presence because he has arrived. Amen. Woo! You can go ahead. Thanks, Elizabeth. If you want to be married now, you can. I'm not talking about like what we saw happen today with Shelby. I'm not talking about she was being baptized by water. But look what John says in the scripture. He says, but then God, it said, then, where am I at? 12, John. No, I don't even know where I'm at. 29:34, gotcha. 29:34. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one. But when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me. So he tells John, there's going to be one that comes. And when you're baptizing with water, he's going to come to you. But I'm telling you, when the dove lands upon him, and you're going to see it by my eye, when you see that dove on him, you'll know that he is the Messiah. And say yes to him. Amen. And this is what it says. It said, the one of whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. John baptized like I baptized Shelby today. We baptized with water. Why? It's a washing away of the dirt. It's a symbolism of that washing away of the sinful man and arising up out of that water, because you were death with Jesus, but you arose when he rose, a new creature, a new life, one with the Holy Spirit inside of you. Whew. I don't think you understand. It was total submersion into the water. The word baptize means to totally submerse underwater. You might think this is funny, but a couple weeks ago, we had a total immersion service here in private with the staff. And we chose the two largest people on our staff so that I could fully get them immersed, because I was getting everything but the front of their face. So I had to get them deeper. Why? Because it represents full submersion, not partial, not a sprinkling, not a wet foot in the water, but an entire submersion. Let's go to Acts 1. You know why this is a series? Because I'm not even going to get to the good parts. By the way, Pastor Randy gets to teach that week. Got to be honest, I'm a little jealous. Acts 1, 4 and 5. Listen to what it says. It says, on one occasion, while he, meaning Jesus, if you read the scriptures above, was eating with them, the disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Keep on going. Right down here too. Well, let's just stay right there. It said that, do not, might I add right here, that this was not an ask from Jesus. In fact, it was a command. It said he commanded them. Let me just say this right now for you and I. I'm going to be honest with you. Some people believe it's, well, you know, I don't know that you have to wait on the Holy Spirit to show up. What did the early church say? No, they had to go to Jerusalem. I command you, wait in Jerusalem, for I'm coming. There's a gift. Why would you not want a gift? Why would you not want it? I like gifts. Amen. I even like wrapped gifts better. I like the suspense. Gifts are good. Well, Okay, most gifts are good, but God says in the Bible and in other scripture that I don't have time to go to today that every good gift is from the Lord, right? He doesn't give bad gifts. He's not a bad gift giver. So let me ask you this. Why do you hear then, oh yeah, you got the gift of the Spirit, but you got the gift of the wrong spirit? Well, let me tell you, I heard a pastor say this once. He said, if I got the wrong spirit, then how come that spirit made me love Jesus my whole life and drove me deeper into the things of God? How come that spirit, if it was so bad, took me from the old man and turned me into a new man, and now I'm not smoking, I'm not drinking, I'm not angry, breaking down your door and you're ripping stuff off the walls, because that's who I was. Would that be good or bad? Come on now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It's a good gift. Let me remind you today that Pentecost is not just a denomination. Pentecost is not just, oh yeah, we're Pentecostals. No, let me tell you something. Pentecost is an experience. It's an experience that happens to the believer. And you can either have it or you don't have to have it. But I'm telling you that God said, Jesus said when he was here, that for now I am with you. But later I come and you will see that I'm going to be in you. In you. Because I'm going to do something. I'm going to help some of you understand baptism today. The culture in the centuries ago would have understood it to be a big vat, a big, big pot with water in it, and it sat up on a fire. They would have known this term because they would baptize their clothes, and it would take their clothes from dirty to clean. Oh, but it was used for much more than that, because it would take the fabric, and they would take that fabric and they would fully submerge it into that water that had been sitting on the fire. And as it sit and it began to cook, the color of the fabric it was would come out. And no longer was that fabric what it was when it went under the water. But then the dye of the color they wanted it to become would be put in the water. And before you knew it, that entire garment, that entire piece of clothing began to take on the dye from the inside to the out. Every fiber, every nook, every cranny was consumed by the dye. Someone just got it. This is you and I when we become born again. We are baptized. We are put into the hot water in the vat with the fire of the Holy Spirit sitting beneath us. It begins to take away the color that you were. It takes away what you were in this world. It takes away that you were a murderer. It takes away that you were a liar. It takes away that maybe you were the girl saved at 5 years old that made her neighbor kiss her over a checker game. It's all I can tell you I did bad before age 5. I didn't have anything I did bad. But I did much worse after I was saved. But the Holy Spirit's fire still began to work on me. He still began to refine the fire. He began to refine me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came inside of me. And all of a sudden, my garments no longer looked like they looked. I couldn't be identified as the 5-year-old girl who made her neighbor kiss him behind the bed playing checkers. Did he call and tell? His mom called and tell? Yeah, I got in trouble. Yeah, that was Shane Snipple, just so you know. It was bad. It was bad. Sorry, Shane, if you're out there. I never apologize to you. I wanted control at 5. Woo, it's bad. The work of the Holy Spirit does something to your garment. And the minute you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you become baptized into that vat. And the Holy Spirit begins to pour his dye on you, his identity, his being, his life. You now take on the attributes of him. Amen. If you were angry, Amen. You're now happy. If you were a controller, you're now selfless. And you're trusting. And you trust in the Father more than you trust in yourself, so you don't take control of situations anymore. That identity, speak to the world right now. one of the greatest identity crises we're in. They say the generation that's being raised up don't even know who they are. Let me tell you who does know who they are. That's Jesus. And when they're baptized into his kingdom and put into that Holy Spirit experience, all of a sudden their identity becomes whole. They know who they are. They know what they were meant to do. They understand their purpose, for it's far greater than anything the earth or the world could ever give you. And they become marked from the die. They become marked with the Spirit of God. And you look at them and you know they're different. You know they're different because now they live different. They act different. The book of Galatians talks about the fruits of the Spirit. When you're baptized into the Holy Spirit, you receive the fruits in seed form. In seed form in your life. And the Holy Spirit begins to work on you. Day after day. Week after week. Every time you read the scripture, something happens. Life starts to birth forth. New sprouts of ideas. You're like, oh wait, I'm not allowed to do that. But I don't know how to say no to that. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit in you does. It says that the Holy Spirit gives you these fruits. Who? Did you work them on your own? No, he gave them to you in seed form. Is it your job to obey? Yes. Isaiah, the first chapter. Oh, this is a good scripture. This isn't even on my list. Look at me. It's crazy. I'm sorry, guys. Isaiah, the first chapter, in the 18th verse, it says, come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. You will have blessing. If you just walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit, who's knocking. He's leading you. Spirit, lead me. The song we sang, he's leading you. He's guiding you. Walk with me. Walk this way. I come to remind you today that it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what size you are. You could be a small piece of fabric. You could be a really big piece of fabric. You could be a different color. You could be black. You could be white. How about right now with all this anti-Semitism going on? You know what? You could even be from Hamas. I said it. You think Jesus isn't trying to reach them? You think Jesus isn't crying out, saying, come to me, serve me? It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter if you're from Israel, if you're from Afghanistan, if you're from Pakistan, if you're from Africa. God came to save the entire world. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you've murdered. It doesn't even matter who you've terrorized. All of a sudden, there's hate in the American church for Hamas. Look, I'm not saying you should be angry about injustice. You should. But you don't get to pray, God, kill them. You'll get to pray, God, save them. God, reach those children. Reach those children who have been literally brainwashed by their baby makers. Listen, do you understand? Okay, it's 11:30. Do I got time? I'm just going to ask you openly. That's the worst thing you can do as a person. I just did it, though. There was an Afghanistan child and his mother. He could not see out of one of his eyes. The only surgeon in their local area was in Israel that could perform the surgery that was going to heal this child's eye. So the mother packed him up, took him to Israel, where they had to stay, and the doctor looked at the child and said, I can fix it. I can make him see again. It's going to be a long surgery, but I have what it takes. There's only two doctors in the entire world that do this surgery. She found one in Israel. She began to work with him and began to have these appointments, these follow-up appointments, the blood work, all this type of stuff. And the day of the surgery, she looked at the doctor and she said, you understand you're fixing his eyes so he can rise up and kill your nation. And the doctor said, I do, and I'm not one bit afraid. and cause that Afghani child to see. Let me tell you something. Those mamas, they birth babies and they raise them to hate from the day they were born. Yet you and I as Christians, mamas, listen to me. Papas, listen to me. We are not raising our children to hate. We are causing our children to love God and hate sin, but not hate the people who create the sin. Listen to me. All they are is lost like you and I. Amen. Why do we breed haters? Don't. Breed people that love. Breed people that share the gospel, that share hope in the midst of injustice. I don't like that Israel's babies were cut from their wombs. And fact checkers are probably going to shut that off on YouTube. I don't care. I'm serious. Listen to me. God loves the people in Hamas. John 3:16. For God sent his only begotten son to what? To the world. To the ones who believe in him? Nope. To the world. But here's what I'll tell you. He sent the Holy Spirit to the church. The greatest gift for the world is salvation. The greatest gift for you and I, the church, is to be baptized into the Holy Spirit and to live our life till our very last breath, doing what he's asked us to do. Holy Spirit's not for the world. Until you become a believer, the Holy Spirit then begins his work. Hallelujah. God come for everyone. Oh, I gotta close. I gotta close. Let's go to Acts 1:8. I'm gonna set Randy up right where I thought I'd leave him. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And he said this, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. Here's what I'll tell you. Note the scripture. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. On you. At this point, they are not infilled with the Holy Spirit. They have an indwelling of him working in their lives. But the filling is coming. If you're really afraid about the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you should not come, not this week, but next week. Because it's an additional Pentecostal experience. It is an experience with the Most High God, and he gives you 9 other gifts that you need in order to work out this life. But he says he gave you power. Power for what? To be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, guess what that was? Right outside of Jesus' door. In Samaria? Was it Samaria next? I don't know. Judea or Samaria, one of them. One of them's his nation, and one of them's the entire world. Here's what it is. He gave power to you and I to now be his witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit did in my life, that it took who I was. It extracted all the bad stuff. It took what was unholy. It took what was unrighteous. And it submersed it into the heat and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And he dyed me with his identity. And I'm no longer what I was, but look at who I am now. Amen. I am now the one that works with the Holy Spirit who has his likeness. So I'm gentle. I'm meek. I'm kind. I'm long-suffering, and I have self-control. Did any of those say hate? Did any of them say disrespect for someone who thinks differently than I do? Church, I got to be honest with you. I think we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to be really shocked at some people that are there and some people that aren't. And I don't want to be a part of the ones that weren't, because I think I'm the only one who knows right. You understand, you can become self, what do they call that? I'll just call it prideful, but it's not. Almost like you can become pious or what, I don't even know if that's the right word. Self-righteous in your thought patterns and who you are, and you think that you got it all figured out. Let me tell you something. Paul warns us and says, when you think you got it all figured out, when you think you're the one that can't be taken by the enemy, when you think you're the one that can't be plucked off by temptation or by sin, woe unto you, because you're closer to the door being plucked than anybody else. We must keep our hearts and our minds in tune on the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Don't you allow anyone to put a garment upon you that's not bathed, that's not pure, because I'm here to remind you that the Holy Spirit begins to reside in you, and you are holy. You're not who you were. You're not AKA thief, liar, cheater, adulterer, angry man, angry woman. You are now what God says you are. And you have victory over the lies of the devil and the lies that people try to put on you. Don't let them put you in the box of the world, for that is no longer who you are. Amen? Amen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you would, stand to your feet today. Thank you, Evan. I just ask if there be anybody present in the house today, anyone present that would say, Pastor Nicole, I've heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I've never accepted him as my personal Savior. In fact, I don't even know that I can be clean. You don't understand how far I've gone, what I've done, what I've said, who I've hurt. You know, my father, Pastor Dosik, said that when he got saved, he left where he was standing by that closet, and he said, Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get saved. But when I stand up from this place, and I walk out that door, I'm going to start telling everybody I got saved. And when I tell them, hey, you better have done something by then, or they're going to know that surely I'm not saved. My dad felt unworthy. My dad didn't know that Christ could come and forgive him and wash him and make him feel white as snow. Did you hear what I said? Make you feel white as snow. Shelby, you did an amazing thing today. She's here in the third row. I'm talking right at her. You did an amazing thing, because what you did today was you cleaned your conscience. And you now believe you are white as snow. You know, they say there's a revival on the hinges of baptism. You want to know why? Because a world can't believe that they're forgivable. They need to erase their conscience of what they've done because they've become so bad. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how far you've ran. God's waiting with his vat. I'll tell you this, it really isn't hot. That's a spiritual word. It's not going to be hot when you're down here, I promise. Fire of the Holy Spirit is simply a symbol that begins to work on your heart from the inside out. If you're here today and you would like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're like, I want to be born again and I want him living with me. I want him in living inside of me. This is your time right now. Is there anyone who maybe's wandered away from the truth? Who says, I was with God before, but now I'm not, and I want to come back home. Today's my day. Pastor Nicole, you reminded me of why I need Jesus, because I can't do it on my own. Is there anyone? Jesus left. Yes, come, come. Did you hear him? He said, right here. I'm right here. Come on, brother. Come on. I'm right here. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that would make a brave confession today to say, Lord, I want you more today than I've ever wanted you before. I need your support. I need you to aid me in my life, because the way I'm doing it ain't working. And I want free. I want free. I want forgiven. Please, please. Brandon, come on up with your daddy. Woo! Listen to me. Listen to me. God's began to work. Brandon, you gave your life to Jesus on Wednesday. That baptism's already started in your heart, brother. You're going to start reading that Bible. God's going to start doing a work. You watch. Turn around. Look, this is your family. This is your family of God. They're here to love you. They're here to support you. They're not here to judge you. They're here to look at you and say, you can do this. Okay? Pray this prayer with me today. You ready?
I've been ready. I was with the Lord and I walked away.
We just coming back home. Yeah. Coming back home to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Say, Father, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I want you in my life. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Don't leave me. Father, for your word is true. Guide me in that truth. The things that hang on, begin to cut them out of my life. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. Say, Lord, separate me from some of these friends. I want to walk with you. I believe you died and you rose again for me. And now I am white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. The baptism begins. This is John. He's going to walk with you. He wants to give you some church information. Hallelujah. Church, next week is Mother's Day. I would encourage you, the rest of these out here. I know my family is going to do something special for me. I don't know what. I asked for two things. I said I don't want to make any decisions on Mother's Day because I make decisions every day. And number two, I don't want to choose what we eat and I don't want to cook it. That's it. That's my only recommendations. But if you have not chose to do something for your mama, I don't even care if you're not in relationship with your mama and there's an angst between you. Make it right this year. Make it right this year. You only got one mama in this life by blood. And if you've got a whole bunch of spiritual mamas or earthly mamas that were just there for you growing up, get them some flowers too. Be sure you spread the love and tell them. Okay? And then the next week after that, we're going to go into the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And if you're a new person here today and you've wanted to become a member of the church and you have not yet, this is your day. You can meet me in 306. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about the buffet. I'm going to feed you too. In room 306, I'll see you for next steps. I love you, church. God bless you. Be safe. Go in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and know He's with you.